This is Nachyomi, Sefer Shofetim, chapter 20. In a rare show of unity, the entire nation of Israel gathers together to address the travesty that occurred in Giv'ah. The Levite husband presents a somewhat sanitized version of the events that acquits him of all wrongdoing and focuses on highlights the evil of the people of Binyamin. The Jewish people demand that the tribe of Binyamin hand over the perpetrators of the crime to be punished, but this request is denied. The tribes decide to go to war against Binyamin because they have chosen to harbor and therefore aid and abet wicked criminals. Interestingly, the Levi and his host, who enabled the crime to take place, are never mentioned again. A large military force representing all 11 of the other tribes is mobilized to fight against Binyamin. The nation consults with Hashem, apparently through the Urim Vitumim, which was a special means by which Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration, would come to the Kohanim, who could then transmit messages to the people. And the Jews are told that the tribe of Yehuda should lead them into battle. Surprisingly, though, the tribe of Binyamin, which was a group of very, very highly skilled and trained soldiers, defeats the much larger national army in the first conflict. The Jews ask Hashem if they should attack their brethren of the tribe of Binyamin, and they are told that indeed they should. However, in the second battle, they also suffer major losses, thousands and thousands of casualties. Crying, fasting, and offering sacrifices to Hashem, they inquire for one last time whether they should pursue this cause, and Hashem assures them that in the third battle, they will prevail. The allied forces position an ambush outside of the city of Giv'ah and lure the soldiers of Binyamin out onto the open roads and fields around the city. They flee from before the tribe of Binyamin so as to convey the impression that they are losing the battle again and that Binyamin will feel that they have the upper hand. This causes the men of Binyamin to pursue them with even greater intensity. Meanwhile, the ambushing party of 10,000 men conquers the city of Giv'ah, sets it aflame, and a pillar of smoke billows up to the heavens. When the Jews see this signal of victory, they are emboldened. Binyamin realizes that they have been fooled, and they are bewildered and begin to lose their ground. The national military force finally and decisively triumphs over Binyamin in the civil war, as promised by Hashem. And in the end, the tribe of Binyamin has only 600 survivors. There are several interesting points in the story that are worth mentioning. One is the obvious similarity between the consultation with Hashem here in our chapter and the consultation that you may remember from the very beginning of the book of Shofetim, when the tribes are still seeking to consolidate their inheritances in the land. In both cases, the question is who should go up first? And the answer is Yehuda, Ya'aleh, that Yehuda should go up first. This similarity in phrasing suggests that the people have, in a way, regained their sense of unity, the sense of unity and connectedness and common purpose that they had enjoyed at the beginning of the book when they first entered the land and began settling it. Again, it may also point to what we mentioned earlier, that many say that this story took place towards the beginning of the period of the Shofetim, in which case it could very well be that the Jews still felt much more of a sense of unity, even across tribes. The third and final battle against Binyamin also is very, very similar to the battle against Ta'ai that we will recall from the book of Yehoshua. In that battle, the Jews lost the first battle in that conflict, and in the second battle, they used the same strategy that we see here of luring the people of Ha'ai out of their city, giving the impression that they were losing, so that the people of Ha'ai would be emboldened, would race out of their city, leaving it undefended, and allow an ambushing party to take it over. Here, too, the Jews use this, or the national army, I should say, since they were all Jews, the national army, the other tribes, used the same strategy, playing on the confidence of the troops of Binyamin and persuading them to leave their city relatively undefended and exposed to the soldiers who were lying in wait to destroy it. There's a very important question that many commentaries ask here, which is why did the National Army of Israel lose the first two battles? It seems like they are fighting for a just cause. Moreover, Hashem himself endorses the attack of Binyamin, conveying the message that he will support them and assist them, and therefore giving the impression that they should have nothing to fear. So the sages explain that these losses can be attributed to an element of hypocrisy in this battle. The Jews acted as if they were motivated by the holiness and purity of Judaism and ethics, and therefore they couldn't tolerate the depravity of Binyamin. yet they weren't mobilized in the same fashion against the graven image of Micha, Pesel Micha, which had become an institution in Israel. The proliferation and embrace of idolatry throughout the land of Israel did not bother them. So this irony and self-contradiction is highlighted by the fact that both sides experience suffering and casualties in this war. In the end, it is the majority, the majority of Shivatim, the nation as a whole, that prevails over the rogue tribe of Binyamin. But the fact is that the nation as a whole is also culpable for its toleration of idolatry, for which they're also being held accountable in the story. We can take this a step further and suggest that the nation of Israel believed that the righteousness of their cause guaranteed that miracles would be done for them. They assumed in their religious fervor that they had no chance of losing on the battlefield against Binyamin. Of course, Hashem would not allow them to lose because they were fighting for the sake of truth. As the battle against Ai in the era of Yoshua, there was an exaggerated sense of entitlement at play here, a sense that they were invincible. There was no chance that they would fail. But the truth was, in order to win, they would have to use a strategy to vanquish their opponents. And that's exactly what they did in the third battle against Binyamin. As the rabbis point out, we can see why Hashem allowed them to flounder here, being that they had made peace, so to speak, with the idolatry in their midst and needed to be taken to task for that failure. But in a way, the story highlights their blindness to their own hypocrisy, their assumption that by virtue of the fact that they were seeking to address injustice and to correct this terrible violation of ethics and morality that had taken place, by virtue of that, everything else should be cast aside, everything else should be pushed aside, and they should be given divine assistance to be able to overcome the forces of Binyamin. In fact, Hashem looks at the total picture, sees their failings in the area of Avodah Zarah, and doesn't let them get away with it so easily. It's a sign of their blindness to their own distance from Hashem, that they expected miracles to happen, and that they expected that they would prevail without strategy, which is always, as we've said, if we've seen in Sefer Yoshua and we've seen in Sefer Shofatim, it's always an indictment of the Jews when they employ magical thinking. They think that God is going to be with them without strategy, without planning, without any kind of intelligent preparation for battle. When they assume that, it's always a sign that they are not close to God. On the contrary, they are far from Him.